Hello and welcome to Witchy Woman Podcast. I am your host, Danae Sweet, and this is episode 24. I have an empty house. There's no one here. It is freaking fantastic. This is like one of the first times I have been able to record and no one has been in the house. Now, it's a given that we're going to be interrupted by probably a barking dog, a cat knocking something over, or a train going by, but there are no humans in this house, so it feels freaking fantastic to be able to do this in my dining room and not in my bed in my bedroom. I can actually sit at a table and do this with you, so yay for that, for this opportunity. So this week, because you picked it, I decided to go ahead and pull the Witchy Woman Friends group and see what you guys wanted me to talk about. It's funny because I already had kind of started some content on one of these things. We're going to talk today about intention and how it relates to witchy shit, how it relates to spell work and rituals, meditation, all kinds of stuff. And we're also going to include and talk about ethics when it comes to your spiritual practice, your witchcraft, your spell work and rituals, all that stuff. It's very intertwined, the intention and ethics behind it. So I thought it would be a good thing to talk about together. So thank you so much to Witchy Woman Friends group member Becky M for that idea. It works perfectly with the ethics talk that I had already kind of formed. So let's go over a couple more things. I want to give a Patreon shout out. A big thank you to the newest Patreon subscriber, to Christina H. Thank you so, so, so much for your support and for supporting the podcast. I think that's awesome. And for the amazing messages that you sent me on Instagram. Definitely lifted me up and made me feel like what I'm doing is for a real reason and that people care. So thank you so, so much. I really appreciate you, Christina H. And to all the other Patreon subscribers, I really, really appreciate you all. And on that note, I want to invite you to my private group on Patreon where I have exclusive content and videos. And right now I am actually making and packaging the quarterly witchy gift for those that have subscribed on the third tier. If you subscribe before next Tuesday, I will go ahead and include you guys in that witchy gift. I don't want to have you wait until next quarter. So, and I'm going to be posting a live video. So on Friday at 4 p.m. Mountain time, which is my time, I will be having a live video on my Patreon page. It's an open Q&A. You can ask me anything. And that will also be viewable for those who subscribe afterwards. You can go ahead and watch the video if you can't catch it. But 4 p.m. Mountain Time on Friday, I will be doing a live video on my Patreon page. And that link is patreon.com/witchywomanpodcast. I will go ahead and put the link in the show notes if you couldn't catch it now, because I don't want you writing things down while you drive if you're listening to it while you drive. That would be super unsafe. Okay, so today, let's first talk about ethics. I think ethics is something that we should talk about before we go into intention work, because ethics is something that you should think about first. And everybody's is going to be different. My personal ethics compared to, you know, my friend's ethics revolving spell work may be completely different, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. It's the ethics that you are most comfortable with and that you identify the most with. First of all, find out what your ethics revolving spell work are in the first place. Do you only do the fluffy stuff? And I don't mean that in any kind of like downgrading way, but I'm trying to find a way to separate these things out so that you can think about them. So what I mean by the fluffy stuff, the love and light stuff, the I'm going to bring love into my life and send love out into the world. I'm going to do a prosperity spell. That's not anything that I've heard of that people think of negatively. So anything that you think of that's positive. bringing love into my life, bringing prosperity and abundance, sending out healing to someone. All of that to me falls under the category, if you have to categorize it. And I want to preface this by, I think it's all one lump of stuff. Like, I don't separate it out very much because I think that it's all in your intention. So I can do a prosperity spell and intend on someone losing their job for me to get that prosperity. That's negative, right? So to me, it's all lumped into one thing, but I want to talk about it in groups so that it makes it a little easier to sort out in your mind. So are you comfortable working with just the positive stuff, the people that you perceive as positive? And how does that affect your spell work? Do you believe that you can do banishings? Do you believe that people can be, that you can bind people? Do you believe, and any of that other stuff that people kind of perceive as darker or shadow stuff? So are you okay with all of that? So really think about it. For me, I'm gonna go ahead and just share my thoughts on it. I believe it's all one thing. I think that I can, with a clear mind and very clear intentions and very, very clear boundaries, I can banish somebody from my life. I can banish people, situations, that sort of thing. I have no problem doing that because I feel I can do it without too much of my emotions involved. And I realize emotion is a lot of who we are. So what I mean by that is, if someone pisses me off, I'm not going to go home, whip up a spell and banish them or bind them. Like, that would be wrong in my mind. I need to think about the ethics of what I do before I do it. So I'm going to cool down. I'm going to kind of explore why I'm pissed off, if it's something that I can deal with in my mundane life first. I'm going to go over all the scenarios and decide whether that's something I want to do or not. Now, once I decide that I do, I'm going to make sure that I'm calm, I'm going to plan it out carefully, and make sure that it's not going to affect anybody in a real negative way. But I see that just the same as, you know, sending out healing energy into the world. I'm not taking anybody's health to make someone's health, make someone's health better. That's not how the healing works. It's not how you send fluffy bunny energy out into the world. I'm not stealing it from someone else. It's my intention going out. But if you want to think about it negatively, you can think about it like that. Holy shit, I'm rambling on and on and on. I'm probably going to cut that shit out. Anyway, you can think about spell work in a million different ways. And you can talk to a whole bunch of different people that practice this particular path. And you're going to get dozens and dozens of different answers on what they're comfortable with. But that's what I'm comfortable with, just about anything, as long as it's not going to hurt somebody. I'm not out to hurt anyone ever. I do not believe that we should ever wish harm upon somebody, ever. I may really dislike somebody. I may decide that none of the things I've tried in my mundane life have worked, and I need to get that person out. I'm never going to wish harm upon them. Okay, so there are things that I look at when I do any kind of ritual or spell work, or even just simple intention work, which I will talk about intentions later. So I'm going to ask myself, what is the reason I want to do this? What do I want out of it? So say I would like to do an abundance ritual because my car broke down and I don't have any money to fix it, and I really need some abundance and prosperity right now, which is actually not too far from the truth, because my daughter's car, the Trailblazer, which she affectionately calls Nathan. Side note, she calls it Nathan because there was like this baseball sticker on the back of the Trailblazer when we first bought it, and it had like a baseball symbol and all that stuff. Well, we scraped it all off and just left the word Nathan because that's, I don't know, she just decided to call it Nathan. Anyway, I digress. So her car is broke down. We have band-aided it and it's working at the moment, but it probably will need to be replaced probably before school. We are going to need some money in order to, I'm gonna have to pull some money out of our ass in order to buy a new one for her. So it may be that if I can't get a job soon, if I can't bring in some extra cash on the side, that I will go ahead and do a prosperity or an abundance spell. So the first thing I'm going to want to think about is, what is my end result? What do I want? I want money to pay for a new car. Or I just want a new car for her. And I'm not saying new car. I'm talking used but new for us car. I'm going to be realistic. I'm not going to set myself up for some kind of disappointment. So I need a new used car for my daughter. That's my end game, right? So then I ask myself, who or what will that affect? Is it going to affect someone negatively? So is someone, if I do this, will it inadvertently cause someone to lose something like money or possessions or their car or something like that? I'm going to go through all the scenarios and make sure that that my intentions are clear, that my spell isn't going to hurt anybody. Make sure that my intention is that I get a new car for Maddie and that it doesn't hurt anybody in the process. And the way I kind of, my umbrella clause for that is, when I'm doing any kind of work like that, I always add "and harm none" right before I end any of the incantation part of it. I say "and harm none, so mote it be," whatever. But I make sure that I put that clause in there. I don't want to hurt anybody in the process. After, if you've really, really thought about that, write those things down. Write all the scenarios down so that you can be very clear on what you're doing and how it can affect somebody. So say you're doing a prosperity spell. You're like, man, I need a hunk of money like really fast because I have medical bills I need to pay. So you just, you know, get in your room, you are in the zone, and you think about prosperity, and you do your ritual, and you're done. And you really didn't think about who it could affect. I mean, really, could you inherit a whole bunch of money? Sure, but somebody probably had to die in order for you to get that money. And don't put that energy out into the world. You didn't think about that very hard. So I'm never going to think about that scenario when I'm doing any kind of ritualistic, when I'm doing any kind of spell work. I'm going to make sure that I am putting out my energy into the world and not taking someone else's energy or possessions or love or whatever to get what I need. I hope that makes sense. And I want to talk about emotion. Emotion is a big thing with all of us. We're human. We cannot help it. So make sure that you're not doing a spell out of spite or anger or frustration. If I'm doing a prosperity spell and I'm frustrated as shit because I cannot earn enough money to get the thing I need, then that's desperation you're sticking out there into the universe. You're putting that energy of yourself out there, and that's going to get a wonky result or not anything at all, because it's not a good emotion to have when you're doing any kind of spell work. As is spite and anger. Those can backfire against you and really harm you or those that you are close to you. So make sure that your mind is clear when you're doing these things. You have peace, you're centered, meditate first, do that sort of thing. But definitely, definitely, definitely check your emotions at the door when you sit down and do a ritual. And the last thing I want to talk about as far as the ethics behind it and the process that I go through when I think about these things are, have you done the mundane things to fix this thing first? So say I have a coworker that really pisses me off, and they bully me and they cause me a lot of emotional trauma just going to work. Okay, so I shouldn't automatically be thinking, you know, incense and candles and, you know, banishing. I'm going to think, okay, I'm going to go to this person and tell them, hey, I don't know what I've done to you, but if I have, I'm sorry. I don't know why you want to treat me this way, but just so you know, it really, really hurts me, and it's causing me a lot of stress here at work. So if we can just talk this out, you know, talk to them. Talk to the person. See if you can resolve it there. If you can't, go to your supervisor. Supervisor, hey, this person is bullying me and it's causing me stress and I don't even want to come to work anymore because of this person. Can you please help me? Okay, so you did your due diligence and your supervisor still cannot help you. You've tried, you know, setting up your own, you know, peaceful area to try to like keep them out, and it's still not working. And what I mean by peaceful energy or peaceful spot, let's talk about energetic boundaries. So I have a coworker that's mean to me. I have a cubicle or an office. I'm going to set up energetic boundaries. For me, I'm a Reiki practitioner, so I am going to Reiki my area first. If you're not a Reiki practitioner, that's fine. You can still clear the area. You don't have to use sage. You can use like essential oil sprays, that sort of thing, and kind of get the energy out of there that's bad. And then you can create an energetic boundary by imagining or visualizing a, for me, because I love glitter, it's a gold and silver like boundary or bubble around me. And that is my do not come near me bubble. That is your energy stays on that side, your side of the bubble, my energy's on my side. You can push that bubble out to surround your space. So if I'm sitting in my cubicle, it's going to go out and it's going to surround my cubicle or my office or whatever. If you have any kind of deity that you work with, you can have them say, you know, please help protect me from anything negative. Keep my energy mind. There's. You can invoke any kind of deity when you work with, you know, that you're comfortable with when you're doing that. If you're a Christian, ask God for help. Ask God, ask Jesus to help you. Whatever you got to do to really believe. And that's the key. You got to believe in it. You got to believe that you are being protected, right? Another thing you can use is crystals. Like in my shop or in my office, I have smoky quartz on each of the four corners in my office. It filters negative energy. If you really need some big boys, you can add like onyx or black tourmaline to that. Or obsidian works great. If you want to add a little love to your space, bring some rose quartz in there. Bring some aventurine, you know. Bring things in to raise the vibration of your space. You can also use oils on like lava beads. You can wear them. I don't know what the policies at your work are for diffusing essential oils, but if you can, diffuse essential oils that help raise your vibe, keep you calm. So like lavender for keeping you calm, peppermint. You can add lavender and peppermint and sage oil smell amazing together. And for me, that's my like I'm vibing high and I feel protected oil. And that can be something different for each of us. So kind of go with whatever your gut says. And then you can add things into your cubicle or your space like salt lamps, put crystals on your desk, whatever. If you have a little animal totem that like makes you feel badass and protected, stick that on your desk. So that's all the things that you can do besides having to do spell work, right? So exhaust all of your other options first, because I do believe that what we put into things is what we get back. And if I just want to hit the, you know, what is that commercial, that easy button? I haven't watched like real TV in forever because I have Netflix, but there used to be a commercial, man, it was like Office Depot or one of them places, but there was an easy button. So if you treat spell work like an easy button, and you don't put anything into it beforehand, I don't fully subscribe to the idea that you can get good results all the time. So I put in my due diligence. I do my work. I try the mundane shit. I try the crystals, oils, visualizing and manifesting, that sort of thing. And if it doesn't work, then I'm going to move on to spell work. Because I've now put some elbow grease into it. I have tried very hard. I have put my energy into getting the result I want before I even start my spell work. So that's something that really, really, for me, that's something that I really, really, truly believe in. And that kind of leads to intention. I hope that I am not rambling too much. I'm really, really passionate about ethics because this is going to sound not like me, but I love rules. I love them. I like to know what my boundaries are. And if that's my own personal rules or someone else's, I don't care. It's not that I love the rules so I don't do something bad or so that other people don't do something that piss me off or that's bad. I love rules so I know what my boundaries are. So like rules with my husband. And what I mean by rules are things that his ethics, his boundaries, I know them. And that makes me comfortable because I know how to interact with him. I know what's too far. I won't hurt him or hurt myself if I know clearly what my boundaries are with relationships, right? So when I do in my spiritual practice, I know what my boundaries are. So I'm comfortable. It feels good to know what I can do and what I'm not comfortable doing. It's very, very important for me. I love me some rules. And that's why. That's probably why I loved the military so much, is because I had very clear-cut rules. I wore a uniform every day. I knew what was expected of me every day that I went to work. I knew exactly, because it was in some document somewhere that told me these are the duties of, you know, what I was at that particular time. And then when you advance, these are the what's expected. This thing is what's expected of you when you advance. It's very, very clear cut, and I love that because I can work very efficiently within the confines of boundaries because I know what's expected. Okay, end rant on rules. Let's talk about intention. When I think about intention, I think about what is the desired outcome. So if I am doing, let's talk about this. To me, the simplest form of intention work would be affirmations. So if I have an affirmation that I write down on a sticky note and I stick on my, let's stick with the cubicle thing, your workplace. I need to stay calm. So I have an affirmation on a sticky note that says, I am calm. The intention of that sticky note and that affirmation is for me to be calm. The intended result is me in a calm state. Does that make sense? So the next form of intention I kind of want to touch on is meditation. So when we meditate, we have intention or a reason behind it. Whether that's to lower your blood pressure, to create calm and relaxation within you, to balance your chakras, to think more positive. There are so many reasons and intentions behind meditation, but that's another form of intention. So if I sit down and I meditate and I picked a guided meditation for positive mindset, I am going to create an intention of positive mindset. Does that make sense? I hope this isn't as clear as mud. And then there's spell work. So spell work and ritual, witchcraft, that sort of thing. You have intention behind everything you do within that, with the scope of that practice. And I read something kind of cool in... It made total sense. There's a book called, let's see, I've got it right here. Hang on. It's called Magic Spells, Simple Spells and Self-Care Practices to Harness Your Inner Power. And it's like a 10-minute magic series. And this is written by Sky Alexander. And there was a little part in there. Let me find it. Okay, I found it. So there's a little phrase on page 28 that I really, really liked. And she writes, before something can assume form in the physical world, it must first exist in the mind. Every physical creation, every building, book, film, painting, automobile, and software program started out as a vision in the mind of its creator. This is the essence of magic. I really, really liked that passage because to me that embodied what intention is. Okay, so before something can manifest in the physical world, it has to exist in your mind or in your imagination first. That's the seed of how this energy transforms from a thought to an energy, which is action, to being manifested in the physical world. So... If you're going to do, let's talk about intention behind spell work. If you're going to do a prosperity or an abundance spell, let's go back to my I need money to fix my daughter's car, or I need a new car, whichever. I just need wheels for my daughter, right? So my intention, I'm going to go through that and I'm going to find out what is my intention. My intention is to have a reliable vehicle for my daughter to drive. A reliable and safe vehicle. Let's add that in there. So that is my intention. What does that look like to me? I am going to picture this in my mind. I want to embody the feeling of this already happening or happened. I am going to imagine or visualize in my head not having to worry about that money because it's done. I'm going to visualize my daughter happy and feeling safe and secure. I'm going to feel that energy behind knowing my daughter is provided for. If for you, if that's visualizing, you know, my daughter driving down the road in a nice, reliable car, then that's what it is. But I'm going to really meditate on that. Every time I do any kind of, even if it's a Sabbath and I do ritual work, or if it's a quick little, like I said, 10-minute spell, I am going to meditate for probably 5 to 10 minutes first so that I can get in the right mindset and start embodying the energy of my intention. So when I meditate, I'm going to clear my mind. I usually have some kind of music or meditation music in the background so that I like a beat. I have to have like that drumming beat or something in the background to kind of, for me, I think it distracts my monkey mind or my conscious mind. It starts to focus on that. And then my subconscious can really come out and play. And I start visualizing, okay, I need Maddie to be happy and not worry about her car. I don't want to have to worry about that. So I'm going to let all that go. I am going to feel the emotion behind being secure and feeling provided for. I'm going to start thinking about all those things. And like I said, if that's visualizing my daughter driving to work in this nice, reliable car, then that's what it is. So I'm going to do that until I can fully embody that and carry it throughout my spell work. So that for me is intention as it pertains to spell work. And that is intention behind manifestation. You don't have to use a spell to manifest. I do because I consider myself a witch. I follow certain spiritual practices, and within my practice, I love to use spell work. It creates for me a deeper layers, I guess, not deeper, but different layers of intention, because I have my meditation work first where I embody the intention and I feel that energy of intention. And then say I have, you know, some citrine and jade and emerald that are on my altar. And for me, that represents manifestation of prosperity and abundance. And then I've got a gold candle that's lit and it's glittery, it's sparkly, and I'm looking at that while I say whatever words I want to say during that work. That's another layer onto it. And then I have incense. And for me, I know some people use patchouli incense a lot for prosperity work, but for me, it's cinnamon. Like, I love anything cinnamon smelling for any kind of prosperity. So for me, that cinnamon automatically has like a primal connection with my olfactory system, and I think prosperity and abundance. So I've got that going, and I have so many layers of intention then. And to me, that's how I can manifest things is through spell work. Other people that don't need that. I am a crazy, over the top Gemini. I cannot help it. I love all of the dramatics that are involved in this practice. That's one of the things that brought me to it in the first place. I love the ceremony, the candles and the incense and all of the different things that are involved in spell work. I thoroughly enjoy it. So when you add something like that I really, really enjoy, I love doing it to really, really strong intentions. I think that combo really comes out with some great results. But that's for me. Not everybody's like that. Some people can easily manifest things with meditation, with affirmations, with journaling positive. It's called journaling your story. So you basically journal what you want, not what's happening now, but you journal your story as if it was already done and completed. So I'm going to start with, you know, today, I got a new job and got a bonus, and this is going to help me get my new car. Okay. Whatever that story is for you, they write it down. And I know a lot of people that can do this and do it very, very well. They meditate on that intention, and then they write their story as if it was finished and completed. And that's how they manifest. So whatever resonates with you. I think that's what's great about this path, is that you can do whatever resonates with you. And I know I say that over and over, but it's the truth. I do want to just for a minute, acknowledge my Wiccan listeners. I know that the Wiccan spiritual practice does have written ethics that they go ahead and that is what they operate within. I don't have them all in front of me, but I know one of them is, and ye harm none, do what you will. Basically, do what you want, but don't harm anybody. And I'm not Wiccan, but I pretty much, that's my ethics wrapped up into a tiny sentence. So, do what you want, just don't hurt anybody. And they also have the threefold law. So, I believe in karma very, very strongly. I don't exactly subscribe to the threefold law. I don't subscribe to a lot of the things that are in the Wiccan ethics or their creed, but I respect them. Does that make sense? I definitely respect them. I respect those who practice that. I don't know. I started out during my path thinking that that's what I wanted to do was be Wiccan, because that's really the first thing that I was introduced in. And I did like that if you look through a book on Wiccan or Wiccan faith, they definitely have a very structured path. They have their ethics written out. They have all of that stuff. And because I love rules, I really, really like that. I thought, okay, I have a book on how I can do this. It's all written out for me. I just practice within the boundaries of their ethics and I'm good to go. But later on, some of it didn't resonate with me as much. And I know part of it is that I have so much baggage wrapped up in organized religion from my childhood that it feels too organized for me, which sounds, you know, counterintuitive since I do love boundaries and ethics and rules and all that. But it was so structurized when I was learning about it that it kind of turned me away from it. And it might not be that way. And if I could work through my own personal baggage revolving organized religion, I might really like that faith. I have no idea. I haven't really researched it or dove into it since my earlier years exploring this path. But I did want to recognize that they definitely have some beautiful worded ethics and rules. And if you want to look that up, just type in the Wiccan Read. It's beautiful. I love the poetry and the theatrics behind all of the wording of what they do. I think it's beautiful. Their rituals are like way badass. And if anybody has any kind of research or books about Wicca, even if you don't like or if it doesn't resonate with you, you can definitely at least appreciate the work that goes into planning all of those very elaborate rituals. I think it's beautiful. So who knows? Maybe someday, maybe that's the thing I'll do. I don't know. I like to think that my spirituality is ever evolving and I don't want to close myself off to anything. So I read tons and tons of different books, and I don't care if it's Wiccan or witchy or Buddhist or whatever. I love to read with whatever catches my eye, I will just read it. So anyway, well, I hope that some of this was understandable. Like, I seriously stopped and re-recorded a lot of this over and over. My recording program kept freezing up. I had all kinds of issues technologically, and I'm gonna attribute that to Mercury retrograde. Oh my god, I can't wait till it's over. It usually doesn't affect me too much in my personal life, but it definitely attacks my my technology. Like, my computer has been freezing up. It was doing that a little bit before, but it's like escalated a little bit. And then this recording program just kept freezing. I was talking and talking and talking, and I finally looked down. I'm like, well, shit. It froze up like 4 minutes ago. So, this has been a super fun struggle. So I will just take a deep breath, let it go, and hopefully by the time Mercury decides to go direct, I think Mercury is retrograde till July 31st. So hopefully by that time, I won't have to worry about technology anymore. Just as a quickie, while we're talking about Mercury retrograde, we have Pluto, Jupiter, Saturn, Mercury, and Neptune. They're all in retrograde right now. There's a lot of stuff going on. So just do a lot of meditating, ground yourself, be mindful of your thoughts and your words right now. And I am hoping that I can get an astrologer on the show very, very soon to help explain a lot of this, because I am no expert. I read a crap load and I do research, but I am no astrologer. So I would love, love, love to have one on, and I think I have a good contact now. So thank you, Rena, for that. And I have an amazing interview lined up for next week's episode with Althea Mitchell. She is amazing. She does oracle cards and palm analysis. She does handwriting analysis, face reading, and emotional release with the emotion code. She did some sessions with me with the emotion code and releasing. And I will tell you, it was really, really amazing. The things she picked up on, and she did it distance. She was like in Wyoming, and I'm in Nebraska, and she did this healing modality that she does. And she definitely picked up on some very specific times in my life and the corresponding emotion surrounding that I needed to release. So I definitely cannot wait to share that with you guys. It's really, really cool healing modality that I had never heard of. I'd never heard of the emotion code or emotional release. So I wanted to share that with you guys since I got to experience it. It's what one of the cool things about the podcast and the community that is online is that I get to have a lot of access to some really cool people that do amazing healing modalities and amazing things for humanity in general. So I just want to say thank you to everybody also that has reached out and helped me during my time of need. I've had, close friends email and call. So many of you have texted and emailed, messaged me about the video and my emotional release that I shared with you guys. I really, really appreciate all their support. I really cannot express into words how much it means to me that by me bearing my soul has helped other people, which is the reason I wanted to do this podcast in the first place, was to show people my 100% authentic self and life, and in hopes that it would resonate with somebody, that would show them that they're not alone, that just because I post pretty pictures on Instagram does not mean that my life is in any way perfect. It's pretty much a shit show all the time. It's just how much of a shit show or not it is at any given time. So I want to say thank you. Seriously, thank you so, so much for your support. I appreciate every one of you. I appreciate all of you listeners. It blows me away how many people are actually listening each week. I had no idea it would get this much traction. So thank you so much for listening. And I just want to remind you again that the Patreon live video will be on Friday at 4 p.m. Mountain Time. I'm going to go ahead and I plan this at that time because I will be in my office and it will be quiet and I will be able to have complete and utter alone time with you guys. So it's going to be an open Q&A. Ask me anything. You can talk about past episodes, questions that you have. You can talk about things that you want to talk, you want answers to. We can talk about the interviews that I've had, anything. Can you talk about yourself? Tell me about you guys. I would love to learn more about who's listening to this podcast. I find that fascinating, and I love to connect to other like-minded individuals. So definitely check that out, patreon.com/witchywomanpodcast. The video will be live on Patreon Friday at 4 p.m. And let's see, what's Friday? I don't even know what day today is. Friday will be the 12th, the 12th of July. Okay. So in order to view the live Q&A, you have to be a Patreon member. So you can subscribe for as little as $1 a month. So go ahead and check it out. Let me know what you think. And those of you that are the third tier subscribers, seriously, like literally doing you guys' gifts today, packing them up and getting them ready to be shipped out. Probably, I'm waiting on something, so probably Friday. Anyway, thank you so, so, so much for listening. If anybody has any questions, please email me at Danae@DanaeSweet.com. You can get me on Instagram at @WitchyWomanPodcast. You can also get me on Twitter, Danae_Sweet_. I think you can search Witchy Woman Podcast and I'll pop up as well. Go to the Witchy Woman Podcast page, hit like, please, and then share it. Go to the Witchy Woman Friends group and hit join. I would love to have you guys in our group. It's private. That way you guys, if you're not out of the broom closet yet, you can post whatever you want and nobody else is going to see it outside the group. So it's a really fun group. We share a lot of funny memes and joke about, you know, witchy stuff. We talk about episodes. And like today, part of my episode was a listener suggestion. So thank you so much and stay witchy. Bye.